You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hundreds of eels and trout have now perished in Lower Silver Stream around the Otago area, with dead and decomposing fish everywhere, apparently. While the cause of this is still being investigated by the Otago Regional Council, Otago Fish and Game are confident that it occurred as a result of a low oxygen and high heat environment in the water. I spoke to Ian Hadland, Otago Fish and Game Chief Executive, and began by asking him how the low oxygen and high heat environment occurred.
Well, basically there was a major flood event, so the whole Lower Tauri Plain behaves as it should as a flood plain, and it pushes a lot of water, flood water, out onto pasture and paddocks in the Lower Tauri Plain. So usually at any other time of the year that's not so much of a problem, but when that happens in high summer, that standing water that's sitting out there actually superheats, and it gets to quite high temperatures in the facility, sort of 25 to 30 degrees, and then and at that point it actually starts to break down the material underneath it, the grass, and that deoxygenates the water in that process, and that combined with the heat is actually a pretty toxic environment for any sort of fish life or sort of aquatic life. It's actually not good for grass either, it kills the grass beneath it as well. So yeah, that's how it sort of gets to a deoxygenated state.
And what additional effects is this likely to have on the ecosystem of the area?
I think the effects are rather temporary. I mean, we've got the stream, the lower stream, Silver Stream itself, is actually, the water quality is improving in there every day, and there's a bit of rain overnight, so there will be a flushing effect of that. There's probably more long-term effects for particularly long-lived species like eel, and the trout will rebound to they spawn annually, so small trout will recruit into the catchment and from the headwaters and up from the Lower Tauri River. So, and as in terms of its local scale, it's probably not the massive impact, but I do feel sorry for the eels, which are a lot longer lived species. Some of the specimens that we saw dead were probably in the 50 to 60 year old sort of a bracket. So they've been there a long time, survived in these drains and ditches, and have been caught out by a midsummer, high summer heating event, which has made their local habitat completely toxic.
And from the looks of things, something like this hasn't really happened before. So is it something that you guys are looking to actively prevent from happening again, or as a natural occurrence, will it just sort of maybe happen every once in a while?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I mean, there's all sorts of questions being raised at the moment about climate change and the impacts of that. This is a pretty unseasonal set of floods which have caused this. It's probably happened before, but we've not perhaps picked up the true impact of it, just because these floods are across a massive amount of the region. So I think, what can we do about it in future? I'm not sure that there is a lot to be done about it. I mean, the Lower Silver Stream itself does suffer from heating, and we can do something by way of perhaps riparian planting, and we'll talk to the Regional Council about that. The Lower River, of course, is part of a wider flood mitigation scheme, so they don't like to have plants in the waterways because it slows down the flood flows from getting out of the catchment. So yeah, I'd quite like to talk to them about riparian planting and shading for those waterways that get very, very hot, and some of the drains and the drainage scheme. What we don't often appreciate is a lot of those drains that run through farmers' properties and through the Lower Tauri Plain are actually habitat for a wide range of species that most people just don't even see or appreciate. So that's been a lesson in it for all of us, I think.
So really this kind of probably speaks to a wider issue of how we're getting affected by climate change here.
Yeah, it could well be, and we could see more regular occurrences of high impact summer rains and that kind of thing. These are the sort of climate change things that we hear about that are proposed to be, well, that they're predicting. So we could see more of this, so we need to sort of set up our management systems and our flood management systems so that they can cope with those. And but also I think we need to make sure that our background environment and the biodiversity is still protected in the process and given the best chance possible to survive in these places. So need to have a wider conversation about that, I guess, over time, and we're doing that as we go with everything that we do at Fish and Game.
So are we kind of talking about quite a collaborative effort between you guys and the Otago Regional Council, as well as the farmers who have lands kind of affected by these areas?
Yes, absolutely, and it has to be that way. The landowners obviously got a right to farm and want to continue that, and we want them to continue that producing food for the country. Regional Council's got a role with protecting the waterways and the environment, and we want them to do that as best as possible. It's quite complicated because there's a very big flood mitigation scheme there to make sure that the township of Mosgiel and the Lower Torrey doesn't flood really important assets, and in the meantime we've got to make sure that these habitats are still viable for some of the species that we love and enjoy and enjoy seeing and fishing for. So we need to make sure we look out for that, and it's the small critters that you do feel sorry for, you know, the little bugs and invertebrates and they have a knock-on effect. You know, if they disappear, they have knock-on effects for, you know, swallows and a whole bunch of species that we're not strictly responsible for, but there are impacts, potential impacts over time, for sure.
Yeah, because obviously it is a ripple effect when it comes to things like this, but it's also something that a lot of New Zealanders don't really know about or wouldn't potentially be aware about the effect of, like, one small, sort of the loss of one small creature in terms of the wider ecosystem. So do you think it's important for this to be something that's maybe talked about a bit more around the country?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and at Fish and Game, we're talking about it continuously, about some of these species, in particular trout, just being an indicator species for the wider environment. So the fact that they're there and they exist means that there's a good level of water quality and that other species will survive. So, you know, you see the invertebrates, there must be a healthy population of invertebrates, and they, you know, also feed eels and freshwater crayfish and other parts of the aquatic environment. And then there's the terrestrial environment, which do quite well off that as well. So, you know, herons and other species. So, yeah, all these things have an impact on each other, and it's important that we maintain some sort of balance between them all. It's a bit tough when you have big natural events which interfere with these processes, but if you've got your environment set up right, then you should be able to rebound relatively quickly, and the long term consequences are a lot less. So if you've got enough refuge habitat in amongst these areas which are highly vulnerable, then you can actually protect your species. These events can go through and then the natural environment can rebound rather quickly. So that's our hope. I mean, these rivers are prone to flooding and have been for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years perhaps, and so there's nothing new about that. It's just the way that the environment responds to it, and the way that our built environment actually responds to it as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.